Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7:36 on this Thursday, November the 1st. I'm Joy Cardine. So what do you think of the media coverage of the 2008 presidential campaign so far? Are you getting adequate coverage of issues and information about a candidate's background? Or are you hearing too much about polls and strategy and inside politics stuff? Our guest this hour says the coverage has been lopsided in many ways. Her group's study also finds that the media have largely narrowed the campaign down to five candidates when, of course, many more are running. We wonder what kind of campaign coverage you want to see or hear or read and what you think of the coverage so far. What's wrong with it if you think something's wrong with it? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Amy Mitchell, Deputy Director of the Project for Excellence in Journalism, which recently released its first look of the coverage of the 2008 presidential campaign, and she joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
This report is entitled The Invisible Primary, Invisible No Longer. What does that mean?
Well, it used to be that the election really hadn't begun full force this far ahead of the actual presidential election day in 2008, and that the invisible part of the primary was when there was lots of things sort of taking place under the radar of most of the general public and people that will be voting in the election. Clearly, that's no longer the case. The election and the candidates are on the front pages of the papers, in the headlines of the broadcast and radio programs, and very much a part of the daily news that we're getting.
Yeah, so there's lots of coverage of this, but your report finds that it's lacking. What do you think a key finding of your report is?
Well, one of the findings is that, as you mentioned when you were introducing this subject, is that the media has already greatly narrowed the field of candidates as far as coverage goes. Five candidates have gotten more than half of the coverage, when at one point we had 19 candidates running. So they've clearly already decided that there are some, you know, quote-unquote real candidates, and others that aren't quite worthy of the coverage in the pages of the news.
Yeah, and even the coverage of those five so-called real candidates that the media have ordained, there's still a lot of who's ahead kind of reporting?
Absolutely. We saw the vast majority of the coverage, almost two-thirds of it, was focused on the horse race: who's up, who's down, who made the latest guffaw at the last debate, the ins and outs of the race itself, as opposed to the issues, the policy stances, and the way that this individual might lead the country in the next 4 years.
Yeah. In fact, it's not in your report because it just happened, but right now everybody's talking about, on the Democratic side, how the other so-called front runners are attacking Hillary Clinton now.
Yes, absolutely, and you know, one of the tricks of trying to figure out how to cover things is to be able to start your story, your news coverage, based on an event, something that takes place in the race, and then turn that into a report that is written in a way that it's going to help citizens make a decision about who they want to vote for, to help inform them about the kind of leader that this person would be, or the sorts of things that might change or not change under their leadership.
Yeah. Did your report find, or what did it find in terms of any kind of bias of coverage?
Well, we looked at the tone of the coverage, particularly the tone of this candidate's chances of winning and how they might lead in office. And far and away, we found that the big winner there was Barack Obama. His coverage, almost half of it, was clearly positive in tone. And the one that was suffering the most from coverage was John McCain.
Meaning that he got a lot of negative coverage on what happened to his campaign, kind of a thing.
He had a lot of negative coverage. And Hillary Clinton got the most coverage overall, but had, you know, a little bit more negative coverage than positive for her. So, you know, it wasn't all good news in the news that she was getting.
Yeah. So what's your conclusion?
Well, I think there are certainly a lot of things here that hopefully journalists and those covering this election can think about, because there's still a lot of coverage to do. Mm-hmm. There's still a long way to go. You know, certainly the primaries are going to begin soon, and we'll enter the general election. So there are a number of points about what is it that citizens need to hear, need to learn about, and what is it they say they want to learn about. One of the other things we did was look at some public opinion survey data about what people in say that they want more or less of in the coverage of the election. And the issue by far that people said they wanted more coverage of was candidates' positions on issues. 77% in the Pew Research Center poll saying that they want more coverage of these kind of things, and that's exactly what they're not getting from the media right now. So there's a lot for the media to think about, to ponder in terms of who they're giving attention to, what kind of reporting they're doing, and the people that they're hearing from inside these stories themselves.
Well, our lines are full with callers with questions or thoughts about this, maybe to tell us what they want to hear or see in terms of coverage. David in Whitewater, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, yes. I'm curious. Are the candidates with the biggest payroll or budget or contributions, are these the ones getting the most attention? And if so, what's the implications of this?
Well, I don't know that you can directly tie the monetary level, the fundraising level, to coverage. We've had candidates in the past who are quite wealthy and have a lot of money to spend and don't end up, getting to be a front runner in terms of press coverage as well as in terms of support. So clearly raising money helps, and it signifies, to a certain degree, the amount of support that an individual has, because they're able to garner a lot of money from individuals. But I don't know that you could, make an exact correlation there.
Yeah. Thanks, David. Clark in West Bend. Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you. A similar question in the fact that I think that the front runners are being told they're front runners mostly because they have raised a lot of money. And although much of that money, like, for instance, especially from Mrs. Clinton, comes from corporate influence, and I'm certainly many others do, runners like, let's say, for instance, Dennis Kucinich, who has a very small campaign of, I think, less than $2 million, still keeps out there and keeps his name going. And I think when I think of issues, for instance, the two main issues that seem to be what the country is looking for is health care for everyone, and getting out of Iraq. And on those two issues particularly, again, if I may, because I'm interested in him, Dennis Kucinich has put together a bill.
I don't want to turn this into a stumping for Kucinich on this particular thing. You're just saying the media are ignoring Kucinich, though.
They do. They ignore him entirely, it seems. They really don't give him the kind of coverage that he deserves because he is unique.
What did your report find on that, Amy Mitchell?
Well, there's an interesting, it's an interesting point, and one of the things we have seen in another study we did is that candidates have developed a lot of ways of communicating through their own websites and are generating a good deal of public support and fundraising and grassroots activities through things they do on their own website. And Dennis Kucinich was one who had the most number of sort of issue stances posted on his website. So clearly he is taking the time to try to communicate those things to individuals and supporters of his, and they aren't necessarily making it fully into the press, at least to the degree that we're hearing from other candidates.
We're talking with Amy Mitchell, Deputy Director of the Project for Excellence in Journalism, about a report on the media coverage of the presidential campaign, coverage of the 2008 presidential campaign so far. It finds the game of politics rather than the ideas or the issues or even the backgrounds of the candidates has dominated how the press has presented the race for president. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And the report also found that the race for president has already been narrowed down to five candidates by the media. We wonder what you think, what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 13 minutes before 8 o'clock. Coming up after 8, I'll be talking with a guest who is the author of the book Cracking the Code, which is about persuasive communication, political communication. We're talking politics right now and media coverage of politics, and in particular, the 2008 presidential campaign. And our next caller is Bernie in Whitewater. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I agree with the guest's conclusions. I think the press coverage is horrible. They focus on only a few candidates, very few issue positions or voting records. The horse race is big. Who's raised the most money is big. I know Mike Gravel, for example, was, according to his website, not allowed in the most recent so-called debate because he hadn't raised enough money. And unfortunately, I think that the Democratic Party leadership and the Republican Party leadership are quite happy with these situations. And, you know, people like Ron Paul, Dennis Kucinich, Gravel are always being marginalized as if they don't exist. I've heard commentators talk about, quote, the anti-war candidate being Barack Obama, when clearly, say, Kucinich and Gravel have voting records and statements far exceeding his. I think what we got here is a combination of people in the press who are talking, who are just stone ignorant, whether it's Chris Matthews or whoever, and with, you know, Joe Scarborough, and we've got a corporate media that doesn't want to present challenging points of view, and we've got two big political parties that don't want to present challenging points of view. I don't see it changing, and I think that people just have to get their own information, but unfortunately most people lack the intellectual curiosity to take the time to do so. One last point or question. Is this something that's being taught at all in high school history, civics, social studies classes? I doubt it. I'm just curious if the guest has done any research into that, because it seems to me kids ought to be aware that their media, you know, basically stinks.
What about all that, Amy Mitchell?
I don't know. That's my area of expertise in civic education, but I know one of the things that's being stressed in the civics that is being taught as far as journalism goes is a kind of a be careful, judge your media, and to a certain degree, I think, in a more negative light than is actually helpful to these young people. You know, one of the things that they can benefit from is learning how to use their media and the value of it. Yes, of course, with an open, knowledgeable eye, and one that's going to question things for themselves, but to see it as a value, and that I think is not being taught as much in schools as it might be.
Yeah. Any thoughts on the Mike Gravel not being a part of the last debate?
Well, there are more candidates in the race now than have been in the past, and the question of who you include in debates is one that comes up every single election cycle. Do you include them? Those that haven't shown, you know, X percent of public support. Do you not? You know, how do you get all the voices in there? And you know, it's a tough one, and that's not really one that's made by the press as much as by others that are inside the campaign field. And it's you know, there are pros and cons to both sides of it. I think it is very important for people to be able to hear from the other candidates, particularly to bring to light issues that they might not be aware of, you know, that are important stance issues and things that are taking place in the country. And even if this lesser candidate isn't necessarily one that's going to end up, you know, being a real possibility in the general election cycle, it may at least help spur the thinking and debate on some issues that they are trying to bring light to in the general election among the whoever wins the primaries. And so there's a real important role that they serve. And you know, there is a lot that citizens can do to find out about what's going on in the election in an active way, certainly online. You know, one of the things that we found really occurring in the 2004 election was that the news media and a lot of, you know, the mainstream press, their websites, the newspaper websites, radio websites, mm-hmm. had a lot more election-related resources available there on their websites that people could go and compare any number of the candidates across a variety of issues, according to the things that the individual was interested in or wanted to base their voting on. So there was a lot more available online than what you would get just from the front pages or the 30-minute broadcast. I would also point out that there were differences in the media in this study, and in talking about coverage of lesser-known candidates, both NPR's Morning Edition program and PBS has stood out for giving more attention to the lesser-known candidates and actually less attention overall to the election at this point, not being quite as obsessed with it at this point, but giving more attention to lesser-known candidates.
Yeah. John and Perkfall sent an email. An example of how the media are dealing with candidates is that silly exchange with Dennis Kucinich about whether he had seen a UFO. And then they asked all the other candidates for their positions on UFOs. Come on, folks, this is not an important issue. What do you think?
Well, I think there's something to that. Mm. I mean, you know, where is that taking the country?
Yeah.
That's sort of part of what we look at is how these stories are who these stories are impacting. Are they impacting citizens to help inform them? Are they impacting the people, you know, inside the campaigns themselves as they focus on the horse race? And, you know, if you think about all the questions you could be posing at that point that really have an important thing to say about what this individual would do in the 4 years that they had in office, that certainly wouldn't appear in anybody's top 10 list, I wouldn't think.
Kathy in Oshkosh is with us. Hi, Kathy.
Hello. I was actually at a conference earlier this early October for the Best Communities for Children, and at the conference they're talking about the 2008 presidential candidates. And the panel, two of them were from Fox News, Beltway Boys, and another woman from the McLaughlin Group, Eleanor, were all on the panel. And they're talking about the candidates going through, like, Mitt Romney and Clinton and Obama, and I noticed that Ron Paul and Mike Gravel and Kucinich were all missing from this discussion. So my hand shot up when it came to question and answer, so I straight out asked them, I've noticed that you're skipping over candidates like Ron Paul and Mike Gravel, and a lot of these candidates are speaking out to my generation, like mid to late 20s. What do you have to say about that? And one of the gentlemen from the Beltway Boys had straight up told me he would just not have them in the debates at all. And if it came down to it, he would only want to have Clinton and Obama in them because he thinks they're the only ones who have a shot in hell for this.
Well, that's what you're finding all over across the board for the most part, Amy Mitchell.
It is. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, there are a couple of different roles of journalists and the press in our country. And the main role is to inform them, to inform citizens and give them the information they need to make decisions about how things will go in this country, when things that they get to vote on and how they get to influence the decisions in this country. And certainly, you know, part of that is to have an understanding of what all the options are, who all the options are in any campaign. And to a certain degree, it is their responsibility to cover that. There's also another responsibility to try to parse through and get to kind of the meat of digging further in to the individuals where the likely outcome is going to lie. And, you know, there's some tension there between the two. But clearly here, you know, we can see in the first 6 months, I mean, this early on in this primary election time, to have already narrowed the field is tilting on the other side of the balance scale.
Thank you, Kathy, for the call. Patrick in New Glarus, hi, you're on the air.
Thank Thank you. I'd like to, first of all, thank Bernie from Whitewater for calling in. I totally agree with his point of view. I'd like to make one comment, which is that the media, that is the corporate media, seem to have no problem offering comments on the effectiveness of a given candidate's zinger or one-liner, but they almost never offer comments on the substance of the positions taken by the candidate. And sometimes I begin to wonder whether the media could just as easily be commenting on the legality of cannibalism and whether or not it should be regulated as opposed to any other issue that these candidates are addressing. Yeah. They simply take a detached equanimity towards the substance of the issues and instead focus on whether it's tastes great or less filling.
Yeah, and we're almost out of time, Patrick, so I want to give Amy Mitchell a moment here to react and conclude. The so style and strategy versus substance, Amy Mitchell, that's what you found.
Absolutely, and it's not new to this election cycle at all. I mean, we've looked at the 2000 election cycle, the 2004, and we saw very similar tendencies across the press in terms of focusing on the political race as opposed to the issues. What is new is that this has started so much earlier. We weren't even measuring campaign coverage at this point for the 2000 election. And one of the questions we had going into this was, you know, would the early start to coverage in the campaign free them up, and would they use this time to dive further into issues, to really debate some kind of meaty things? And, you know, what we saw was the answer is no there.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Amy Mitchell, Deputy Director of the Project for Excellence in Journalism, just released its report, The Invisible Primary, Invisible No Longer, a first look at the coverage of the 2008 presidential campaign. Some of the conclusions, the media have already narrowed the field based on the amount of coverage as one determiner to five candidates, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Rudy Giuliani, John McCain, and Mitt Romney. And you can probably see this report on their website. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Information about program hosts, programs, call-in numbers, and webcasting are found at WPR.org. Links to interviews, audio archives, blogs, poetry, recipes, tips, playlists, and more at WPR.org.
Hi, I'm Kathleen Dunn. Thursday after 9, President Bush has been criticizing Congress recently, saying it's not getting its work done. After 10, the cover story of U.S. News & World Report, the new age of energy, breakthrough technology that could change the future, super solar power, hot geothermal turbines, and hyper-efficient cars.
It's going to be sunny and cool today, a high of 58, clear and cold tonight, a low of 35. Another sunny, cool day tomorrow with a high of 58. On the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, sunny with a high temperature, 57.